Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Them talk.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets.
Folks getting snatched off the street by secret police who are wearing masks.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that.
I'll be signing a bill, the first in the nation, saying enough to ICE, unmask. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
Tragically, now the governor got his answer with anti-ICE rhetoric literally written on a shell casing.
So when you listen to Gavin Newsom say to ICE and repeat, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Is it not clear what they would be afraid of?
It was clear before the most recent shooting, because there had been others.
You'd have to specify when you say most recent shooting.
Well, yeah, sorry. It's incredible in light of that. Still, hey, how about we do legislation that actually removes their anonymity and makes them more vulnerable?
I think the real question here is the folks on the left, that's a montage of people on the left who are speaking in a certain kind of way about ICE specifically. Do they know what they're doing? Is this an intentional incitement with chosen rhetoric? Let's ask our friend Dory Murdoch. He joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. And I'm reading your piece right now, Dory, in the Daily Signal about the way the left has been using their words in a way that certainly isn't calming the moment. Welcome back, Dory. Thanks for being with us today.
Annie, great to talk to you. This piece is at the Daily Signal. Headline, Violent Democrat Left Aims to Melt ICE. And you're absolutely right about the rhetoric. You know, we keep hearing, you know, in the light of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I guess, three weeks ago today, if I'm remembering the dates correctly. Yeah. And they see people on the right, you crazy conservatives and MAGA people, you need to cool the rhetoric and lower the volume and lower the temperature, et cetera, et cetera. And you've just played a little while ago for the listeners' edification some of these recordings from people like Gavin Newsom and people like House Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries and others, referring to these people as fascists, modern day Gestapo. This incredible comment from Jasmine Crockett, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. My God. So people hear this sort of thing, and there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, unbalanced, barely hinged, and hardly keeping it together. And they figure, well, if these people really are slave patrols, if they really are Gestapo agents, and of course Trump is Hitler, then the response is to get guns out and stop these people. And unfortunately, we saw just in Dallas a week ago, somebody up on a rooftop, not very much like Tyler Robinson, the alleged suspect in Charlie Kirk's assassination, up on a rooftop shooting at ICE agents. Now, he happened to be his bad luck and really bad luck for the people he hit. The people he hit were not ICE agents. They were illegal aliens who were being brought in. One died immediately. I believe another one passed away either overnight or today from those wounds. So this sort of thing is going on, and it's not, you know, an isolated incident. This sort of thing has been going on in Chicago at a facility they've got there. That one's been the subject of all kinds of violence at the Broadview Processing Center. You had people throwing tear gas cans, rocks, bottles of fireworks, slashing tires. You've got another place in Alvarado, Texas. This is July 4th. They had a fully planned ambush on ICE agents where one person was sort of lured out into the crowd. Then they opened fire, 20 to 30 rounds shot at these people. One of them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was shot in the neck, of all places. I mean, this is really nasty stuff. And you know, why should they possibly, what do they have to be afraid of? Yeah, what they have to be afraid of is exactly this, getting shot at work, being doxxed, the people showing up at their homes and attacking them, attacking their families, attacking their loved ones. So these people have a legitimate reason to be fearful. And the people who are just adding more and more gasoline to the fire are Democrat politicians, left-wing activists who are attacking these folks whose job is basically to enforce the law that's been passed by Congress, signed by the president. That's the way democracy works. And they're basically enforcing the laws that are passed by folks in D.C. And the thanks we get for that is increasing gunfire, increasing violence, and an ever-growing risk to their lives.
We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, a nationally syndicated columnist. His piece currently in the Daily Signal, Violent Democrat Left Aims to Melt ICE. Leading up to our conversation here, and while we're talking to you, I've pulled up the September 1st, 2022, 3 years ago, the speech that Joe Biden gave in front of Independence Hall. And remarks by President Biden on the continued battle for the soul of the nation. And I searched MAGA Republican. That was my takeaway. That's what I remember from his speech. And the first time it comes up, I'm reading directly from the archives of Biden's White House. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. He goes on to talk about MAGA Republicans 10 times in that speech. And it's always associated with extremism. We're 3 years into this. The American people have had their say on how they feel about MAGA, about Donald Trump, who he repeatedly refers to as an extremist leader here. Is there extremism in MAGA Republican world right now? Is it to be found?
You know, look, when you're talking about 75 million people approximately who voted for Donald J. Trump, you're going to find some crazies out there. 75 million of any population, you're going to find pretty much whatever you want with that many people around. But, you know, you look at the people who are using this kind of rhetoric and responding with violence, and they're overwhelmingly, in fact, almost completely on the left. You know, I certainly in light of the Charlie Kirk assassination, there are a lot of people in MAGA Nation or Trump supporters who have been very upset and very angry and very, you know, frustrated by all this. And yet it's been 3 weeks now. I've not seen anybody getting on rooftops and shooting at people on the left. I've
Thank
not
God,
seen
yeah.
people with MAGA hats going around and setting fires or slashing tires or breaking windows, any of that sort of thing. And when you see violence, political violence, this country, you know, 9.5 times out of 10 or 9.9 out of 10, it's people on the left, not people on the right. You know, I can't say that it's been zero on the right, but it's certainly far, far, far less. And you don't have people on the in the MAGA Nation using, you know, the Hitler term, calling people, you know, I guess Mao and Stalin and this sort of thing, maybe here and there in passing, but not like a constant nonstop chant that will lead people on the right to think, well, this person's really like Joe Stalin, I need to go out and stop him, or whatever else it might be. It really is something very heavily concentrated on the left, and I can't imagine if something were to happen to a very popular activist on the left who somebody decided to kill, that you'd see people like you and me celebrating and going on social media and saying, yeah, it's good this person died, this person had it coming, or got killed and had it coming, and people going to the memorial for that person at the headquarters of that person's organization and kicking flowers and candles, you know, across the sidewalk. I mean, I can't see people on the right doing that sort of thing. You know, what they probably would do is, if not grieve for that person, at least, you know, have the decency to keep their big mouth shut, which we've not seen the left able to do in the light of the death of Charlie Kirk. And in fact, I think it was just yesterday, Ilhan Omar gave a speech saying, yeah, I take none of it back. I'm not sorry for anything he said. He's a terrible person and a monster, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, doesn't have a legacy we should celebrate. I mean, what an incredibly ungracious thing to say while he's got a widow grieving and a little son and a little daughter are going to don't have a father right now. You know, if you have nothing good to say about this, just keep your big mouth shut.
Yeah, amen to that. We're speaking with Dori Murdoch right now, a Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, and nationally syndicated columnist. The thing that I'm struggling with, I understand that there people on the left aren't going to all of a sudden fall in love with everything Charlie Kirk had to say. And, you know, God bless America. There's no reason to have to fall in love with what he had to say. I just, you know, the initial comment that was made by President Obama was, we don't know what motivated the shooter. And then he went on to provide his sympathies. There is no, it seems like this is the easiest full stop to say, this is terrible and a very dark day in our country's history, and this needs to stop, without having any sort of couching or defense mechanism thrown in after a comma in a sentence.
Yeah, you don't need the but. You know, even if you think that this person's Tyler Robinson's a mega pro-Trump Republican who decided that the best way to support President Trump was to assassinate his probably arguably most effective activist or surrogate. I mean, that makes no sense, but maybe Tyler Robinson killed Charlie Kirk because he wasn't conservative enough. I mean, it's just insane. But even if you believe that, just say, what a terrible day. This shouldn't happen in America. Let's put the guns down and go back to talking to each other. I mean, you can say that whether you think Tyler Robinson's a far left extremist, a far right extremist, or an extremist who's so incredibly centrist and moderate that he had to take a gun out and kill somebody over it, if that's really what you believe. Just denounce the violence and call for us to get along peacefully. That should not be difficult to do, especially not for somebody as well-spoken and eloquent as Barack Obama.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now. Last question. What advice do you have for people on the right who are kind of on the defense right now? If you're a public speaker and you espouse conservative viewpoints, you've had a few thoughts go through your head. And as we've been 3 weeks now away from what tragically happened to Charlie Kirk, like, conservatives can't be quiet. They'd have to be louder, but do we trust the environment we're in right now to keep people of all ways of thinking safe?
Well, you know, I think people who are in the public eye have got to be seriously and legitimately concerned about security. I mean, if you're going to go speak on a campus or anywhere, I would certainly, at a bare minimum, talk to the host and say, look, you know, what is your security plan? Have you discussed this with your campus security or building security? I gave a speech yesterday at a UC San Francisco Law School to the Federal Society there, and I was very happy when I walked into the building. They asked me to show ID. They took a photograph of the front and back of my driver's license. And so anybody who wanted to come in and see me had to do that. So I'd imagine if anybody, you know, I'm not the stature of Charlie Kirk, but if somebody decided to come in and, you know, take me out, that person would think, well, gee, you know, if I run out of the building, they've already got my driver's license. I'm going to go, you know, get picked up quickly. So I would say, you know, if you're a public speaker and you can arrange for people to show their IDs, that might cause somebody who's malicious to think, well, okay, this isn't going to work. I'm just going to go home now. So in terms of that sort of thing, as for all of us, whether you're somebody who goes out and speaks publicly or just somebody who speaks with your friends, neighbors, loved ones, and so forth, keep speaking, keep talking. These are important issues. These are questions, vital questions as to how this country proceeds to remain free and prosperous and safe. And the last thing we want is to have the assassin's veto, where somebody goes out and it takes out somebody like Charlie Kirk, and the rest of us say, well, okay, we're going to clam up just to be safe. Exactly what they want. So I think it's incumbent upon us to keep speaking out for individual freedom, for constitutionalism, for peace through strength, for strong borders, and all the other things in which we believe, and keep fighting the fight, and do so as eloquently and factually and accurately as possible.
Yeah.
I think that is how we eventually win.
I think that is. And I think we're headed in that direction. What an awful occurrence with the death of Charlie Kirk to really snap everybody to it. I think the fact that it was so visible and it's so undeniable, there's no truth that is debatable in what happened to Charlie Kirk. Everybody saw it with their own eyes. So there's no spin on it. Makes everybody ask themselves the question about where am I at in relation to this? And a lot of people seem to be waking up in the light of it.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, if he had died of a stroke in bed, people could say, well, you know, how tragic, you know, but there's no criminality involved. Excuse me. If he had been shot, but off camera, people could say, well, it was fake or whatever. But I mean, it was right up front and center, live on the internet, in incredibly vivid and excruciating color, and people all saw that. And I think that's part of why we've had such a dramatic response, is because of the gruesome manner in which he was killed and the fact that so many people actually saw the heinous nature of his death. I think that's a big part of what's fueled the reaction that we've seen, the sympathy that's poured out for him, and now hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people trying to step up and support Trinity Newport USA.
Yeah. Amen. Dorie Murdoch, thank you for your time. As always, we appreciate you.
Annie, very good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor, Dorie Murdoch. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let's talk a little bit about the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. At the bottom of the hour at 1:30, Senator Eric Schmidt is going to join us. Is he still on Zoom?
Up to this moment,
as far
yeah.
we know, we think he's going to join us live on our YouTube stream as well. So you can join in and vote in the YouTube live chat poll, which we will discuss next. Is America getting back to cultural, air quotes, normal? Yes, no, or there is no normal. What are your thoughts? Leave your comments. We'll discuss next. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I was been waiting to do this poll when you got back, Ryan, because you emulate normal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. YouTube live chat poll for today is we can measure in time your thoughts. Is America getting back to cultural, air quotes, normal? Yes, no, or there is no normal. Now, I think I'm going to get to this a little bit more in the 2 o'clock hour, but I don't know. I guess somebody decided to do a deep dive on Netflix. I sent you guys some of those clips. Had you seen them that I sent
you? No, I had not.
Did you look at them since I sent them to you?
Yeah.
Should I play them on the air?
You can. I don't think it's like inappropriate to play.
It's not inappropriate. The second one might be hard to hear.
They're inappropriate.
The second one?
The one with the for the Jurassic Park one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to too. That is inappropriate for kids.
Yeah.
Well, so Netflix has shows marketed to 7-year-olds, and they have gay love stories in them. And another one is Cocomelon. First of all, there's a Jurassic Park cartoon.
I did not know that.
The other one is Cocomelon, which I don't think is on in our house, and I don't have Netflix. But Cocomelon has a story. The way it's presented is it's a biracial male gay couple, and I don't care about biracial. Like, I don't know why that really needs to be part of it. It's a, you know, two dads. There are lots of families in this country that have gay parents. That is part of reality. But they don't stop there. They take it one step further, and they have a child, and there's a song, a little scene with a song that's telling their kid to be who you want to be, or who you feel like you are, but it's basically these two dads who are encouraging their son to be who their son wants him to be, and so then he dresses up in girls' clothing and does a little song and dance. So that's a choice. Now, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what audience does Netflix want here? Netflix is the company that put Dave Chappelle out there talking about doing comedy that was really ended up being centered around critiques of transgender people. Like, Dave Chappelle and the transgender issue are culturally hand in hand in the last 15 years. Wouldn't you say? And Netflix stood by Dave Chappelle. Isn't that right? Didn't Netflix? But I mean, like, they were like, sorry. They got protested outside in their Netflix headquarters, and they were like, sorry, we're not taking it down. So it looks as though Netflix is on both sides of this issue, which I'm thinking to myself, I do not want to walk into the room where my kids are harmlessly watching a cartoon that is centered around a child being encouraged to, like, the way it was written on Twitter was like encouraging their child to dress and drag and dance. And I'm like, I could see how you would say that, but that's maybe the most inflammatory way to say it. It doesn't need to be explained in an inflammatory way for me to not want my kid to be watching that slipped into a show that's for small children. And I'm like, do we need to put warning labels on this stuff? What is the warning label? May contain diverse themes or something like that. If you had a show, let's just use Bluey, because everybody has some understanding of the concept of Bluey. Great cartoon. Never seen any of this stuff really get slipped into Bluey. Not effectively, at least. But if Bluey had a show that was centered around doing something wrong, referring to the thing that was done wrong as sin, and a little conversation that talked about, you know, when you do something wrong, it's important that you say that you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And then Bingo says, and it's important that you provide for forgiveness because Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. Jesus tells us that we're supposed to forgive the sins of other people. Are folks that are not in that camp going to be outraged that was slipped into Bluey?
I would think that they would.
Would they have a right to be?
Yeah.
Bluey would be making a choice. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, Bluey is saying, not necessarily we don't want certain kinds of viewers, but if this is not for you, we don't want you.
Yeah.
I'm making this content, and I'm not making it for you. So when Coco Melon is making an episode about two dads who are encouraging their child to dress, their son to dress in girl clothes and put on a tutu and a little crown and dance around like that, that's just not for my family. I have a right to say that. I have a right to not subscribe to Netflix. I don't happen to be subscribed to Netflix right now. I want to talk a little bit more about that later in the show, because there is a cancel Netflix movement happening right now, and I want to know from you guys if you think that that's right, but we can talk about it in the 2 o'clock hour.
Sounds good.
Senator Eric Schmidt's going to be up with us next. Is America getting back to cultural normal? Yes, no, or there is no normal. That's the YouTube poll. Just give me your answer to this question right now. No explanation, and we'll follow up.
Yes.
Yes? Yes! That makes me happy. I told you. The purveyor of normal.
Thank you very much. Nobody else needs to answer.
You should have seen how abnormal we were in your absence.
It was probably pretty weird.
Yeah. Super weird.
I got to bring back the plumb line. And here I am.
Do you spell plumb with or without a B?
B.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Eric Schmidt is going to be with us, the senator from Missouri, my adopted senator, my favorite senator. He's going to be with us when we return. And we're going to talk about a host of things. But the shutdown is at the forefront. He's part of making sure this job gets done. We'll see what the senator has to say next. Because here comes that familiar feeling that Friday's famous fall.
Yeah, I'm looking for some action. And Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is insanity. We know from the work we do at America's New Majority Project that there are two things the American people feel about this shutdown. One, they do not want increased spending. Two, they do not want the government closed. So what do you have? You have the Schumer shutdown where Chuck gets up and says, I'm going to close the government to get more money. Now, that means he's on the wrong side of both issues.
So there you have Newt Gingrich highlighting what the left is trying to do. The Republicans have certainly successfully, in my opinion, labeled it the Schumer shutdown. And Senator Eric Schmidt is here to talk to us a little bit about where we are in this process. Senator, thank you so much for being with us here today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's good to be with you again, Annie.
So talk to us about the Schumer shutdown. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment of where the Republicans and Democrats are right now trying to get the government back open?
Yeah, and I think sometimes there's like rhetoric on both sides and you got to kind of parse through it. But this thing's actually pretty simple to understand, which is the Republicans have offered a clean continuing resolution effectively for like 7 weeks so we can continue to work on the normal appropriations bills. The Democrats have decided to reject that and hold hostage government funding so they can get $1.4 trillion worth of new spending, health care for illegal immigrants, all the sort of things that we did in the rescissions package that I actually handled. So all that crazy USAID stuff and funding NPR, they want all that in here and they're willing to shut the government down. And the reality is what this is really about is that they're being driven by this more radicalized base. Chuck Schumer himself is hearing the footsteps of AOC, who wants to run for the Senate against him. And so this is more about their politics than anything else. But the problem is, they're shutting down the government. So we voted again today. It's day one of the Schumer shutdown. We're going to continue to vote on this and give an opportunity for Democrats to come to their senses here.
Now, I think that it's important for people to understand what the Democrats are asking for. The advocacy that I continue to hear, Maxine Waters is another one who has just come out and recently spoke about they want health care for everyone as a highlight over the American citizens, of course. But the Democrats continue to make their priority. It's their vocal priority. I understand if it were kind of like the goal that they didn't want to actually say the quiet part out loud. But where are they advocating for the American people, the American citizens in this whole thing? I fail to be able to identify that place.
Well, yeah, they're not. I mean, this is really why they lost the election, because they're so obsessed with President Trump that they don't have, and they don't have a leader, and they don't have a message. So they just continue to sort of lash out on anything that Trump wants to do or anything that Republican wants to do. The American people rejected that last November. I think part of this is they've not fully come to grips with what happened last November. They still can't believe that President Trump executed the greatest political comeback in American history and defied all the odds and gravity when they were trying to throw him in jail for the rest of his life. So some of this is their base is really still upset about that. And they want them to fight over everything, right? And this is just the wrong place to do it because, you know, you're going to have the government effectively shut down. A lot of the things that they actually support are going to, you know, be problematic when you start – when the government runs out of money, you're just not going to fund those things. Now, I think the Trump administration is going to prioritize making sure our military members get paid, making sure our law enforcement gets paid, making sure those Social Security checks and Medicaid and Medicare go out, the outward-facing stuff. But you're already seeing today Russ Vogt, who's the director of OMB, talk about how there's just some – because of some DEI challenges and constitutional issues, some, you know, some funding for some infrastructure projects in New York may not happen. So – you know, that's where this thing is all headed. And it really is kind of silly. And just kind of like a history lesson on this, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Typically, and whether it's Republican or Democrat in the last 15 years, say 2013 or in the most recent round when the Democrats wanted to have DACA as part of a government funding and the government shutdown, the exit ramp to get out of a government shutdown is a clean CR, a clean continuing resolution, which is exactly what the Republicans have. We have not loaded it up with a bunch of our stuff. We're saying that in order to keep government running and, you know, to work on appropriations bills and do all the things that people want to do, this is the way to do it. So this is usually the way you resolve it. But the Democrats, again, are just stuck in this mode of the resistance as opposed to governing.
Yeah, and it's super obvious. If I'm looking for the Democrats, I was kind of talking a little bit earlier in the show, if the Republicans were in a minority and, you know, a very large minority, pretty close, as close as you can get, certainly in the House and in the Senate, it's not huge. The difference isn't huge. If the Democrats tried to put in something here, it was like, we're going to double the funding of Planned Parenthood in this CR. And Republicans were like, no, you're going to have to shut down the government. I just can't stand by that. I would understand the principle of that issue. I would understand that the Republicans have something they believe in, whether I agreed with it or not. And I would appreciate that the Republicans that were elected to represent their constituents in that way were standing on principle. It does not, I don't see where the Democrats can do that. It does really look like there is zero win that they're willing to participate in that might go to give Donald Trump a point on the scoreboard.
Right. And just this policy issue that they're advocating for, effectively, they kind of lost. So we did the rescissions package, and we could do it with 51 votes. We did the one big, beautiful bill through reconciliation. We could do it with 51 votes because we have the House, because we have the Senate, because we have the White House. So the American people effectively had said, we reject Biden. Trump's coming back. We want this reform agenda. And then we delivered on it. And so really what this is a rebuke of the by the Democrats of the American people. They've not accepted the results. And so they're just being obstructionists. You know, we just had to sort of change the rules on how we deal with nominations because this president, for the first time literally ever, every single one of his nominations for every single position, save Marco Rubio, who was number one, was filibustered. So we said, okay, well, we're going to have to move these in block because a president deserves to have his people in place. That didn't happen under Joe Biden. He had like 87% of his nominees at this point were by voice vote or unanimous consent, or there was some bipartisan vote of some sort. But the Democrats, again, in this resistance mode, fought even that. And to put that into further context, Annie, to just show you how unusual that is. So the Senate has three calendars that we operate on. We have the legislative calendar, where we deal with bills and this kind of thing. We have the executive calendar, which is confirmations and all that sort of thing, and ambassadors and judges. And then we have the impeachment calendar, effectively. So the executive calendar, which is where Clarence Thomas, right, his nomination, perhaps maybe the most controversial Supreme Court justice in my lifetime, he got 52 votes, meaning they didn't filibuster it,
mm-hmm.
right? They didn't. And so now they're filibustering the general counsel of the Department of Transportation, right? Like nobody cares about that, but it's just this, again, this obstructionist resistance mode that we're going to continue to kind of have to overcome. But on this government funding bill, the way out for them is just to vote to have 10 of them or I suppose eight of them,
yeah,
vote with Republicans and move on here.
You know, I think that watching the Democrats try to spin this, you can tell they've been spinning, but it's spinning their wheels now. That before, when they owned the media, Senator Schmidt, they could say things out there on the Capitol steps and then the reporters would cover it. And then the nighttime primetime shows on, yeah, the agenda-driven media would spin it some more. And it was very cyclical and it served a purpose. But it seems as though something has been pulled out of that. And I think that you are responsible for some of it with the pursuit that you've had against the censorship. Now, we just saw Donald Trump. He's fortifying so many of his legacies by suing these people. YouTube now was at like $24.5 million or something for censoring, yeah, him. But you've led this charge. Their messaging structure that would usually, I think, prop up the Democrats being the good guys in this shutdown, I think they've lost it. And I don't think they know how to play the game with the rules that are there right now.
You're right. So media has been more diffused. That's a good thing. I think the censorship folks are in retreat, which is a good thing. I mean, still have to keep an eye on it. And I'm proud of the work we did in Missouri versus Biden. And of course, the subject of that book, The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. That's a New York Times bestseller, which is kind of crazy.
Congratulations.
But the people can get in, you know. But the one thing I'll also say is, like, you were here, Annie. When was that? 6 months ago or something?
End of April, yeah.
Okay. So when I go from my office building in the Russell office building to the Capitol, what's kind of crazy about this place, which I had no idea until I was here 2 years ago, there's reporters everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, you've got to be on your toes and they'll ask questions about anything that's going on in the day or whatever. You know, they ask about President Trump's post or something, you know, whatever they're going to ask. And it's interesting. So I'm very accessible and I'll come out of a hearing and there's a gaggle of cameras and I'll answer any question. They even know it. Like, even the reporters from the Washington Post, like, they ask the questions. They want so badly this to be the Republicans' fault because they're so used to doing that. But even they understand that this really is about Chuck Schumer, the Democrats, not voting to fund the government. Like, it's very obvious. If they were willing to do it, we wouldn't be in this situation. So even in the diffused media environment, you're right, your show, other shows where information now can get out there to people as opposed to the gatekeepers at the networks, even the network reporters are like, you know, they ask the question and they kind of get the joke. So anyway, hopefully we're going to get through this and continue to move, you know, with the work that the American people deserve us working on as opposed to this nonsense. And by the way, I don't want to go too long, but I would just point out this whole thing is kind of stupid anyway. Like, the idea that every 6 months we got some government shutdown, people back home, it's ridiculous. They don't understand it. And I think it's stupid too. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who's a great guy, has a bill that says in the Government Shutdown Act, which basically means if you get to September 30th, like we did, and you don't have all the budget bills done, you're just operating on last year's spending until you do. As opposed to the situation now where everything stops, parks, national parks close, and you got to do all this stuff that we're doing right now. I think that's a good kind of structural reform because this, you know, every 6 months or every year doing this thing is just really kind of stupid.
It is. You know, we did a poll. We do a poll every day on our show. Very scientific, of course, with the Annie Frye Show listeners. We had about 300 people vote on it. And we asked our listeners, so consider the source, you know, if it shuts down, are you going to blame Republicans, blame Democrats, or I don't really care? 37%, over 100 of the people said that they didn't care. I was wondering, yeah, if it'd be above 10%. I was surprised that over a third of our audience was like, whatever. I mean, the idea is that you guys will get it figured out eventually. And it does seem like a lot of slap fighting in the interim. So, you know, I think there's trust that you guys are going
to
get.
No, I can relate to that. I feel like, you know, the people, because I'm back and forth every week and you know, just the, like, normal, like, people, like, not Washington people.
Yeah.
You know, they're just sort of like, they just think this kind of stuff is just kind of performative. And but when you actually do, you know, when you start, the longer you get into this thing, we're at day one of Schumer shutdown. By the time you get to day 15, though, there are checks that start, not to, on Social Security, those sorts of things, but there are some things that are going to be impacted, we'll see how it all plays out. But again, this is a relatively simple solution, but the ball is really in the Democrats' court.
Is it, Senator, if people are not being paid right now, is back pay usually provided? They'll get paid, yeah, just eventually. Is anybody going to go without work and without pay in a finality right here?
No, it's basically you get the back pay, but you know that's just that's not fair to the people who you know have nothing to do with this, right? Yeah. It's the politicians that are being stupid, and so we'll hopefully get that figured out. Now, I will say this though, if the Democrats really want to go down this road, you know, all the spending authority then shifts to the executive branch to make critical decisions about with less money what actually gets paid, right? So they're playing with fire here with some of their own, you know, programs they've established over the years, and we'll see how that plays out.
Well, I want to encourage people to check out your book, The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. The benefits from your efforts here as the Attorney General in the state of Missouri continue to bless all of the people in this country. And the book, New York Times bestseller, congratulations on that. Senator Schmidt, we're always grateful for your time here. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Annie. Take care.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Senator Eric Schmidt from the state of Missouri, of course. We appreciate him each and every time. My favorite senator, my adopted senator. I got an invitation from Governor Kehoe a little bit earlier in the show. And Senator Schmidt, boy, if you moved over to Missouri, those are two good folks. Two major upgrades from this Illinois resident right here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about that poll. Is America getting back to cultural normal? Yes, no, or there's no normal. Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Is America getting back to cultural normal? Yes or no, or there is no normal? Before we went to speak to Eric Schmidt there, the senator from the state of Missouri, love talking to him. Senator Eric Schmidt, if you missed it, it'll be on the podcast shortly. I asked you this question, Ryan, and you said, yes, America is getting back to cultural normal. Why do you say that?
Well, you have to define normal. To me, normal is the sound of a child's laughter.
Oh, my gosh.
spending time with loved ones.
I think you're saying things. I don't think anyone says normal is the sound of a child's laughter. It might be like joy.
Well, happiness. To me, discussion like this is beautiful and is what normal is. So when we talk about talking about child's laughter, even that to me is getting back to normal. So I'm a hard yes on this.
Ooh, I wasn't listening.
I can tell.
I was texting my dad back. Early dismissal. He's picking up the kids.
I was going to keep going just to make sure.
I know, but I can tell by the tone of your voice when you've gone into bologna sausage mode.
Well, to me, you being able to tell when I've gone into BS mode, to me, that's normal.
You can say bologna sausage. It's okay.
I don't use that kind of language. I say BS.
So does Senator Eric Schmidt in the video that I wanted to air on the radio.
I saw that.
I couldn't.
I know.
I was kind of thinking it might have been worth it.
He didn't say bologna sausage, though.
No, he didn't. He said it, and he meant it, and he was right.
Yep.
Should we listen to it?
Yeah, play that, and then we'll all be without jobs.
Not all of us. Brad's the producer.
That's true.
I've got a dumb
Brad,
button.
You play it.
Yeah. Brad's responsible for that.
Oh, shoot. Ethan's playing it from outside the studio. We have no control.
Ethan, stop.
This is how you finally get Ethan. This is Senator Eric Schmidt talking about both sides at a hearing. Listen to this.
The Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt, left wing or right wing? Left wing. The Covenant School shooting in Nashville, left wing or right wing? Left wing. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on President Trump, left wing or right wing? Left wing. Burn down cities during the Summer of Love in the George Floyd riots, left wing violence or right wing violence? Left wing. The Waukesha Christmas Parade massacre, left wing or right wing violence? Left wing. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt, left wing. The Abundant Life Christian School shooting, left wing. The United Care CEO's murder, left wing. Tesla's burned, keyed, damaged, firebombed, left wing, left wing. The murders at the Israeli embassy, left wing. The ICE facilities firebombed, left wing. The Minnesota Catholic school shooting, left wing. The anti-white Charlotte and North Carolina stabbing, left wing. The attempted Utah News State firebombing, left wing. And now, of course, the culmination of this vile trend, a left-wing assassination of of Charlie Kirk. And I would point out, we've heard years of the left, their loudest voices calling anyone on the right extremist MAGA Republicans, fascists, Nazis, an existential threat to democracy. Check yourself. And don't give me this both sides bull.
Yeah, I wish that was the conversation we just had.
All right. Well, that ended nicely.
Don't you agree with that, man?
Yes. I have a lot more to say about that, too, but
the next?
Music's playing. We'll come back.
Well, hang around. We'll talk about it here coming up next. So See what I did there?
Yeah.
Thanks. You didn't compliment me like you usually do.
It wasn't that good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.